Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 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 Thursday, 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 Friday, 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 Saturday, 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 Sunday, Monday, Monday, always the minisode.
Okay.
There we go.
Who was that? What was that? Tell us a little about your song.
That was Always the Case by MDO, maybe, or Mido. I think it's MDO because it's no, or Medu. I'm getting 3 different options about what this person's name is from the internet.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Medu. Okay. By Medu.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. That was fun.
You're welcome.
Minisode. Oh my gosh, you guys, welcome back to your minisode. For those of you who took a break, we're happy to have you back. We're happy to have you listening. Genuinely, welcome back. We love you. Oh my gosh, happy you're here.
We're here to talk about your thoughts on season 4, episode 1, The New Rachel. Hello,
Each
what's up?
Each one of these memails is about why they think it's me or why they think it's Ian. Mm-hmm. So buckle up. Welcome to debate class.
Yeah, that's it. We're not talking about the episode at all. No. We're just going to fight.
Everyone just sent us their thoughts on who is who.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to start raking each other through the mud. Mm-hmm. We are not afraid to get down and dirty. Mm-hmm. We're not afraid to get personal. We're going to wreck this friendship right here on the air. You're invited.
I don't like joking about that.
We're not going to wreck this friendship right here on
the
air.
But there is
going to
be a
invited.
Weird twinge. Was that a word?
That is a word. I don't know if it works in how are you using it context-wise?
I don't know. Like, you know, when you like tweak your back.
Maybe it does work that way.
I don't know. Well,
there is going to be a weird tweak in the French. The French is going to get tweaked. Everyone, get your tweakers ready. We're about to tweak this thing. Hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I am a professional tweaker. I'm also a mini gleek.
Hey, everybody. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I'm currently tweaking. I'm a mini gleek. Just kidding. Not tweaking.
And also kidding about being a mini gleek. Lena has never seen this TV show.
I really haven't. It's actually just a really long ruse that I just like look up. I actually spend more time reading about the episodes to know what's going on than I would if I actually watched the episode. It's not really like a fun thing, but I committed to it.
Lena's taking this as a long form improv class. She was working on her yes ands. And so she's just like really yes anding all these conversations.
Yeah, totally. Ian's like, let's talk about Rachel. And I'm like, yes. And
if you go back and listen.
Listen, seriously, I say this fucking all the time, you guys.
All Lena ever says anytime she gives her thoughts in an episode is yes. And then she says something else.
Yeah, totally. Or I just like kind of regurgitate things you say back to from me back to you.
Genuinely though,
I do that genuinely.
Oh no, that's not at all what I was saying.
Okay,
actually, genuinely,
you never have your own thoughts and feelings and opinions. You
I was going to say,
just tell me mine.
If anything, I do that.
I think we both do that as like a listening thing. You know?
I think we all sing. No, it's true. We're both big reflective listeners.
We are.
What I was going to say is I'm not a person who like does improv a lot. But when I have, there is like truly one of the worst things is to be in a scene with someone who will only regurgitate what you said and will not add anything.
Yeah.
And then and you're just, like, you just feel the burden on your back getting heavier because you're like, you will not further this scene at all. Terrible.
I I could never do improv. I think I'm just too highly anxious. And there's something like, you know, with people who are like, you know, good at improv, I feel like they don't like second guess their comedy. They just kind of do what is natural and it just ends up being funny because they're funny. I don't know. And I could never do that. I'm always like weighing the options of like, what's the funniest thing to do in this moment? And then that like, you know, bites me in the booty.
I relate to that big time. I will say, listening to this podcast and editing this podcast, unless you're doing a whole lot of weighing options in your brain before you talk, you are very naturally funny. So,
oh my God,
just gonna get out of your own head.
I'm actually really glad you said that because I was actually just fishing for compliments. So
I knew it. That's all you ever do. That's all you ever do. Every time we get on camera, Lena's like, "Ugh, I just look so ugly today." And then we finish recording and she's like, everything I said was so stupid. And then she just kind of like stares straight at me.
And I go, like, what do you think about me being ugly?
We're in shows together. She goes to curtain call. She bows. And then she says to the audience, I did such a bad job tonight. I should quit acting. And then she just stands and stares at the audience.
And then usually, hear me out, sometimes it doesn't work out this way. But most of the time, people like, that's when people start throwing flowers. And that's when people are like, no, you're amazing. What are you talking about? Get this bitch a Tony. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's how you get jobs.
It works.
You go into your auditions and you say, you shouldn't cast me. I'm not talented. And then you just kind of like shyly.
Just to spite you. They're going to give me a job. And listen, you guys, I don't like that I do that, but it gets me work. And you know what? That puts food on the table for my family.
Result oriented.
Sorry.
Result oriented. All right, let's get into emails.
Okay, perfect. First and foremost, we have a message from Elizabeth.
Hey, Leon and Ian, it's your old friend Elizabeth. I'm so excited you made it to season 4, because while it's one of my least favorite seasons to watch, I find it's one of the funnest to discuss because people either absolutely love or absolutely hate this season. One thing I think really becomes insanely noticeable this season is the infamous inconsistencies of the Glee writing. A lot of times the Glee writers just expected us to accept that something is happening without any explanation, and I'm sure some people can do that, but that is just not my journey. I need things to make sense at least sometimes, you know? Like, please make it make sense that while the Glee Club has always been unpopular, even though half its members were the most popular kids in school because the students thought singing and dancing was stupid, why them winning an award for singing and dancing would all of a sudden make them popular? On that note, this season also marks a point in the show where they start doing or saying something offensive in just about every episode for the sake of informing a specific plot or sending some kind of message because Glee thinks they are saving the world. But pretty much every time it happens, I feel like the writers just draw a character's name out of a hat for who gets to say it, because most of the time, it makes no sense for that character. Why would Sam and Blaine be the instigators in the situation of the Glee Club telling Unique not to wear makeup at school? Sam has only ever cared about popularity early on in season 2, and the majority of his character arc has always been him fighting against peer pressure and trying to do the right thing. Blaine was severely bullied and a victim of a hate crime for his sexuality, said his biggest regret was allowing bullies to chase him away from his school, and was always encouraging Kurt not to let anyone push him around. I could understand Sam and Blaine watching this situation go down and not saying anything, but I don't get them being the instigators. At least not without a little more information as to why. Anyway, I can't wait to get into more of the season with you and hear more about your adventures in New York. Ian, I'm so sorry you're sad right now, but thanks so much for a new playlist for me to cathartically sob to in my car. I don't have any advice for you because I'm also in a super sad era of my life, but I hope you find some comfort in knowing you're not alone and we all love you loads. I just know that great things are on the horizon for you both. I feel it in my bones. You both bring so much joy to so many people. You deserve to have some given back to you. I seriously don't know how I would have survived the last few months without you. Consensual forehead kisses, Elizabeth. Elizabeth?
That was too nice.
Like, you know, We read this email when it first came in, and then I kind of like forgot how this email ended.
Yeah. Made I was like, emotional. Elizabeth's got so much good bulk in here. When I was reading it to like put all the emails together, I was like, oh yes, great point. That I was like, okay, put it in, and then I forgot that this was in there.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I remember. I won't talk about this just because it's the Minnesota and we like got to get moving.
Yeah.
But last night, you know, tune into the Maxisode. I'll probably mention on the Maxisode. But last night I was like doing a big thing that I hope like leads to big things or at least like something for my career. And I literally read this email on the train ride to the big thing. And it the thing saying, I just know that great things are on the horizon for both of you. I feel it on my bones. And I was like, Elizabeth, manifest this for me.
This is so nice. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Also, shout out to everyone entering their super sad era.
Yeah, totally. On to your killer points. We'll try and keep it short just because we have a lot of thoughts on this, just this whole mini-sode. So, honestly, Elizabeth, you make great points. I literally cannot add anything more to this, but like, make it make sense. Make it make sense, you know? I swear Ryan Murphy is doing things for, you know, the interestingness of it rather than the like character, like that, rather than staying true to the characters he's created. And I mean, why would Sam and Blaine ever give a shit about Unique wearing makeup ever? I don't think they would. I don't think they ever would have. And for some reason, I mean, and maybe I can like back my way into like, well, everyone's worried about popularity right now because they just won something. And it's like, Sam doesn't give a shit. Like maybe Blaine does. Also, we'll talk about this forever. The Glee kids are popular. The Glee kids are popular and I'm over it. I'm over this. And this is a new like crew of people. And I don't remember, they mentioned if Kitty is a sophomore or a freshman. Do you remember?
I think all the new characters are sophomores, but that's just like what I feel. I don't know that that's actually true.
Sure. But like, these are new kids. Like, and if, why are they grandfathered into Glee kids get bullied if like to them they are winners? I don't know. This doesn't make any sense to me. Elizabeth, you got some great points.
The Glee kids suddenly being popular, frankly, you make a great point, Elizabeth. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't bother me too much. I'm just kind of like, you know, this is the rules of this world is that like the Glee kids are always unpopular. And I understand that like it is a fun plot line for like them to be famous and it to corrupt them. I do absolutely agree that it makes no sense in the world that they've built. But I'm kind of like, I'm one of those people that I'm like, I guess I could turn a blind eye to this. But I completely agree on the Blaine and Sam stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely agree with what you said, Lena, that just like they're doing they. Like Elizabeth said, Ryan Murphy just wants to save the world. He wants to do little after-school specials every week. And so instead of picking lessons that are character-driven and make sense, he's just like, I don't know, this character this week is going to say this thing so that we can teach kids this lesson.
Yeah.
And I super agree with Elizabeth that I would buy that, like, Sugar says it.
Yeah. Oh,
and then Sam and Blaine don't like stop it from happening. They let it happen. Like I could buy that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, why on earth are they the ones who are instigating it? Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
Hey.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for this message. Thank you for your amazing points. And thank you for being so nice to us. Up next, we have a message from Jacqueline.
Hey besties, I found your podcast several months ago, and thankfully I'm finally caught up in time for season 4. I'm super excited because of how many things there are to complain about. You guys are the funniest when you're shitting on Glee. So I have thoughts on the new Rachel, specifically about the teachers at this college and how they relate to Rachel's setup arc for the season. The most obvious choice in character arc for Rachel Niada is the idea that she is very talented in Ohio, but in NYC, she's just among the rest of insanely talented people that are on par with her, and she has to deal with the fact that she will actually need to work hard and improve in order to succeed. She's been handed solos without auditions for years, but she almost didn't get into this dumb school. It would be so interesting to explore the imposter syndrome that most high school successful people have when they go to college and are among other high school successful people. It takes more work and dedication to be college and real world successful. This is the plot I thought they were hinting at in the season 3 premiere with Harmony and again with the episode Choke. And I feel like this is the plot they set up with Cassie July. At first, I was like, what a genius move having the teacher that doesn't like her be her dance teacher, since we've never really seen Rachel as anything other than a singer, and obviously one skill will not be enough to break through to Broadway, and she should know that. However, while I agree with you that Cassie is super interesting, I think the writers made Cassie too much of a villain. She doesn't seem interested in teaching, she drinks on the job, etc. It's all fun to watch, but I find it annoying that she actively hates Rachel, and Rachel is seemingly the only person who she hates. Especially since she is very jealous of her successful students, so her hatred of Rachel seems like it stems from her knowing Rachel will be successful and resenting her for it. I wish she was just more uninterested in Rachel. She can be mean because that's sexy, but only if she is mean to more people. Like, why are you...
Sorry. I love mean women.
Like, why are you so obsessed with Rachel, Cassie? I want her to be less, you are my list, and more, you're so far off my list because you're so unimpressive to me. Instead of being someone that Rachel needs to work to impress, she's just this bitter, irredeemable person who Rachel just ends up sticking it to when she inevitably becomes successful at NIADA immediately with no changes in her behavior and skill, and Cassie is then just the person who was a dick to her. I want to root for the teacher that is humbling Rachel, but Cassie's hard to root for in my opinion because she really should not be a teacher. Cassie should have just been a character that pushed Rachel to be better and helped her realize that not everything comes easily when you're among the most talented performers in the country. It would have been way more compelling of a character arc, but at this point, I'm unconvinced the writers even know what a character arc is. Also, what's the deal with Zaddy Shu not letting Jake finish his song because there was no time, but letting Marley sing the entirety of New York State of Mind? The writers have doubled down on inconsistencies that now the characters are being inconsistent within the same 5 minutes of an episode. That's all. Love you guys so much. Jacqueline, she, her.
Love you so much.
Jacqueline, a lot of thoughts in this email, and all of them very good thoughts.
Mm-hmm. All of them very good thoughts.
Really fast, just to get out of the way. Did not even occur to me, at least, that the whole beef with Jake stems from Will being like, well, we didn't have enough time to hear a full song, which is a thing that happens all the time. But then Marley comes in and he's like, sing this whole 5 minute number. What the crap?
I know. Weirdo. And then he tries to sell it to Jake. He's like, I knew you were destined to be in a club within a second of you starting singing.
That's why, like, he was so on the fence with Marley the whole number.
He just really needed to be like, oh, I don't really know. I don't really know.
It's when he heard that riff and he was like, I imagine that if Rachel was singing this riff at this exact moment, she would do verbatim that riff. And
did we make a joke about if they got Freaky Friday or not?
You did, yeah.
Okay. Because they should have Freaky Friday, right?
They should have.
Oh, anyway. No, I totally agree. And, you know, as a person who's been a freshman in an arts program, people aren't nice to you. But also, mm-hmm. I agree that it would have been so cool to, like, have a teacher who was, like, mostly uninterested. And then that being, like, Rachel's worst nightmare, that someone, like, really didn't give a fuck about her and, like, her work really hard to please her. That would have been fun. And, yeah, I don't know. Art school is hard. Yeah. And I think it's hard to, like, you know, put it on TV, too, because it's, like, you know. Weird. You know what I mean?
Yes. I don't know. I think they are two different things that are both hard. And the fact that, like, you know, I've been in the position where you're like working with a director or a teacher or whatever, mm-hmm. who just like doesn't like something about you personally.
Yeah.
And that is very hard.
Yeah.
And then on the other end, like Jacqueline is saying, the other teacher who it's not that they like targeted don't like you. It's just literally that like they don't even consider that you're there.
Yeah.
Because they are so unimpressed with you.
Yeah.
I don't know which of those are harder. I think they're both harder for different reasons.
Personally devastating. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I do see what Jacqueline is saying, that I can see that, like, for Rachel Berry, who has used adversity to overcome, like, she was always bullied in high school, mm-hmm. and that's what, like, motivated her to be better. Mm-hmm. The thing that would be harder for her and lead to more character growth would be, like, oh, this isn't a teacher who, like, hates you. This is a teacher who just doesn't see anything in you, like, does not notice you at all.
Yeah.
And, like, that's what's so hard, is that, like, she just truly thinks you have so little potential that she can't even be bothered. That being said, I do love the Cassie that we see, though.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, like you said, Jacqueline, she's mean and she's sexy. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for all of your thoughts, Jacqueline. Up next, we have a message from Danae.
Hey, Ian and LPC. The problem for me with Brody is that he seems to fall into a pretty classic pattern for Glee, which is to make any person that Finn or Rachel date that isn't each other either really boring or really evil. Oh my gosh, those are the two sides of my personality.
Really boring and really evil.
Yeah. So back to Danae. So that even if people are interested.
Yeah, your jokes about my hair are boring and also evil.
Yeah, somehow both sides of my personality melded into one. Everyone's like, that joke was so mean. It also was not clever at all. It was a really boring joke, but also really evil.
And I don't know how you found the crossroads of, like, something that was just rude and also maybe yawn. Like, it was, like, uninteresting.
Absolutely devastating to my personal esteem. Rewired the way I view myself as a person, but also, like, made me want to take a nap.
Like, I can't tell if it was, like, the way you said it was evil or the way you said it was boring or the things you said were evil and the things you said were boring. I don't really get it. It was, I will never recover from this. I need to go take a nap.
Go sleep it off. All right, back to Danae. They make the people Finn or Rachel date that isn't each other either really boring or really evil, so that even if people are interested in Brochel for a bit, they will eventually grow tired of it all and end up wanting them to break up and probably end up wanting Rachel with Finn again. They did a pretty similar thing with Quinn in season 1 and 2. Whenever Finn was dating Quinn, she was depicted as the worst girlfriend ever, and the relationship was never seen as a serious possibility for either of them to be happy in. And with the way Jesse was introduced in season 1 as the Winter Soldier under Vocal Adrenaline's command, it was pretty easy to see Finn as the better alternative. I'm getting pretty tired of this trope, since it doesn't allow anyone any character development. Regardless of if you think Finchel should get back together, which I'm already not fully agreeing with, I think it's pretty obvious that they broke up for good reasons and should spend some time apart for their own growth. And part of that growth should include connecting with new people and possibly dating some other people. Both Finn and Rachel have dated other people than each other, but they are the only people they've ever really envisioned a future beyond high school with. And so to experience a relationship with other people can be a big part of their personal development beyond high school. But of course, that development isn't going to go anywhere if Brody is only allowed to be a blank slate of a person or some shower-roaming creep. Because the writers were scared that if Brody could be even a remotely interesting boyfriend for Rachel, Finchel might have become less popular. But the huge downside for me from this is that whatever connection Rachel may or may not end up having with Brody, it's not going to give her any character development because the relationship is not going to be allowed to be genuine enough for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, the writers aren't even willing to admit that Finn and Rachel broke up. That's how attached these writers are to Finchel. I hope you have an amazing week, and I can't wait until your next episode. Danae, she, her.
Danae, I absolutely agree with you. To the point of, you said that Rachel and Finn date other people, and I said, who else has Finn dated? And, like, you know me, Quinn's my fave. Like, Quinn's my fave. I also think she was not barely dating Finn. You know what I mean? Like, Finn may have been dating her, but she was barely dating Finn. Catch my drift.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sick of this trope. And it's, I like Finchel as a couple. I like them fine. But this whole, like, obsession Ryan Murphy has with, like, these, like, endgame couples that are, like, you know, predestined essentially, and they can't escape this fate of it. I just feel like it doesn't make any sense for the world that's created. And I don't, and I think it's boring TV. You know what I mean? Like Rachel should be able to break up with her boyfriend and also, like, you know, do some growing that they already set up at the end of this, at the end of last season. Like, they wanted this to, they wanted some growth to happen. They broke up, but it's all, like, forgotten in the first episode. I don't understand.
I'm gonna be straight up. All of this, like, endgame OTP crap that is in, like, every TV show ever.
I mean, it only works for Kylo Ren and Rey because they're a dyad.
But I think
the Force chose them.
I think it really set me back in my emotional development watching stuff growing up. I mean, it's in, like, every media ever, but I do think that Glee is one of the worst offenders, because Glee, you have Finchel, which is, like, the obvious one, but Glee has so many couples across the board who start dating in the first two seasons and then are so clearly endgame to the point that the writers will never flesh out anyone else that they ever date or really view them as an option. And it just, like, rewired me to be like, oh, your first love is your undying love. And there was, like, a long period of time where I, like, refused to date or, like, even, like, entertain the thought of dating anyone because I was like, well, I feel like I'm betraying, like, the person that I had a crush on in high school. And it's like, Ian, you're not, like, you literally, you're not in high school. You live in different states. You barely talk. Like, you need to let go of this. But I was like, it's my Finchel. Like, we're going to end up together. Totally. I don't know. Like, that's not how real life works. Like, real life, you know, I'm sure your first love is very important to everyone just developmentally, but, like, truly, relationships end and they ended for a reason. And then you go and you find someone else and you learn something from each one. It's not this whole, like, your first significant other is your true love and then everyone else is boring or evil.
Yeah.
And then you find your way back to your first love.
Totally. I mean, I've told you, like, I dated my high school partner, like, on and off throughout high school, on and then on and off throughout, like, a lot of college, that it was, like, it, like, took up, like, 5 years of my life, and we kept, like, having, like, huge breakups and then getting back together because I was like, well, you know, this love is good, this love is bad, this love is alive back from the dead. Whoa, you know what I mean? Where it was like, this is, well, I mean, I was like, this was my first love, so I have to, like, put in the work to make this work. When it was like, no, we're different people now, and that's okay, you know? I don't know. Glee is a bad offender of this.
And it especially is. It messed me up.
For real. Thank you so much for this message tonight. Up next, we have a message from Madison.
Good evening, partners. As much as I loved the Glee project, I'm so glad we're back to regularly scheduled programming. Two thoughts. Streetcorn named Desire came from the minisode on the season 3 premiere. I know that because that minisode featured my email, and it was truly the greatest accomplishment of my life. I remember that now because that email is about how Rachel and Kurt facing imposter syndrome helped me face mine in school, and when you re-aired that episode, it literally came out the day I was considering dropping out of school, and it was my own goddamn words that convinced me that everything was going to be okay. So, cool that that's the episode you decided to re-air, and it convinced me not to drop out of school, and thank you. Speaking of school, I have some fun thoughts about the Brody story in this episode, about my haunting experiences living and working in student housing, for no one's enjoyment except my own, and for no one's purpose instead of my delusion that I can just send you an email of my stream of conscience with barely any relation to Glee. So anyway, the audacity that men who live in dorms have to just walk around with their twinkle tubes threatening to come out is astounding, and Brody is certainly not alone. Now, I avoid going to the boys' side of my building because it's stinky and a petri dish of shit I don't even want to know about, but I work at the front desk of the nearby dorms, and there is an ongoing conversation between my friends and I on how many twinkle tubes I see of just men with the nerve to hang it all out walking in the lobby of the dorms. Like, dude, picking up your mail is not a dick out occasion. College age men will never fail to amaze me. And talking about Brody just makes me think about how this is the only part of Glee that is realistic in my life. And how Rachel should learn that the threat of seeing a twinkle tube, hate that that's in my vernacular now, is ever present in the student housing environment. Also, what kind of weird ass dorm is this that has co-ed bathrooms? Anyway, again, this is a much more interesting and relevant anecdote in my head, but best wishes and congratulations on your move to New York. Forehead kisses if you'll accept, Madison.
I do accept, Madison. Thank you. What? Seriously, why? I will never understand, ever, what possesses young men to like do this. They're so yucky.
The obsession that specifically like pubescent or like teenage men have with their own genitals has astounded me even as a teenager. Like, I get it, you know, when you're a teenager, everyone of every gender, for the most part, is, like, the above average levels of horny because your body is just, like, throwing hormones at the wall. Like, I get it. But the need to just, like, draw penises on everything, mm-hmm. the need to just, like, show your penis to people, mm-hmm. the need to, like, send pictures to people who do not want them, mm-hmm. like, what's going on? It has always weirded me out so yeah. much. I do not get it.
I will never understand it. And I don't know. It's... Like what science makes that possible? Because it feels like it must be at this point. Like it happens so frequently. I remember being a teen girl and like, never, you know what I mean? Like it was just like, it was so weird. Like who told them that was okay? Or like what chemical in their brain tells them that's okay? I'll never understand. But also the phrase a dick out occasion, that's so fucking funny. I'm going to write that down.
This podcast is a dick out occasion.
Yeah, for sure. You can't see our pants right now because it's a dick out occasion. No, it's not.
All right. Thank you, Madison.
Up next, we have a message from Casey.
Hi there, y'all. I'm a big season 4 fan. It's so fun and I love the new characters. It's campy and weird and the songs are so good. I love it. However, this episode is such a frustrating season opener. It sends the characters backward to try and go forwards, and I hate it. A lot of my frustration comes from the new Rachel competition. Ryan Murphy 100% forgot what happened in the end of season 3. The new Rachel is Tina. We had props for this reason. And Blaine being the new Rachel makes no sense for one reason. He's the new Finn. Finn and Blaine have this little arc throughout season 3 of being kinda enemies to like very close friends. And Finn is even like, Blaine, you have to look after this club. Blaine is the new Finn. The team has a male lead and a female lead. Why is it literally all about Rachel? Absolutely insane to me. I love the New York stuff a lot at the beginning. This is the best it gets. Cassandra is the kick that girl needs. Anyways, that's my little thorn in my side that I can talk about this week. My other opinions are spoilers. Love y'all heaps, consensual kisses from Australia. Casey, she, they, season 4 apologist.
International listener!
Casey, you pointed this out and it blew my mind. Like, so we had at least one episode for each of these people where they essentially got bequeathed a crown. And it was like, you know, that means something. And then for them to just go back on that and for them to like have this new Rachel competition and then like rub it in Jenna Ushkowitz's face that like, you know, we did give this to you, but we're not going to give it to you anymore. It really grinds my freaking gears.
I feel like Blaine does get his crown in the sense that I do think Blaine becomes the new Finn. Like, yes, Artie says the new Rachel is Blaine. But I think truly in the structure of the show, because then Marley joins, Marley becomes the new Rachel.
Totally.
And Blaine does fulfill the Finn position.
Sure.
It feels like this entire new Rachel competition, straight up to me, who knows what the real intent was, but this is how it feels to me. It feels like the whole new Rachel competition is the writers trying to undo promising that Tina would be the lead of the group.
Totally.
That they're like, oh, we actually don't want Tina to lead this group, so we're going to write this whole episode, give the title to someone else, and then bring in a new character who actually becomes the female lead instead of Tina.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that Ryan Murphy forgot what happened in props.
Sure.
I think this is all very intentional.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is a part of my heart that wants to believe there's good still left on this earth. So I don't know. Anyway, Casey, I can't wait to hear all your spoiler opinions. Thanks so much for this message. Up next, we have a message from Emily.
Hi, Ian and LPC. Hope you're doing well. Firstly, I wanted to congratulate you guys on the Harper Gray interview. You guys made such good interviewers and had great conversations with her. Got me through a very boring train ride and wanted to let you guys know how absolutely cool it was. And finally, I get to send my email in. I've been holding onto a thought pretty much since the start of the Glee project, and you touched on it briefly in the Wednesday episode, but I think the Chris Colfer of it all lives in my brain rent-free. It's always sort of felt like Ryan's proud of himself for finding an 18-year-old who really hadn't done anything before, other than the Russell Fish short film, which I recommend despite it being completely wild. Like you said in Saturday Night Gleaver, he became the poster child for everyone that was different. There's a reason that he is the one of the original ensemble that got singled out and praised. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Ryan Murphy started looking for a new poster child when Chris started taking his writing seriously. But anyway, aside from the fact that all Glee Project winners are straight men who are mostly white, I think there's a reason why Kurt works that none of these other characters ever will. Chris Colfer isn't Kurt, but he was very active in the creation of his character. We know that he decided not to wear heels for single ladies. He said the writers wanted Kurt to be flamboyant and dramatic, but he decided to make the character superior and soft-spoken. He's always responsible for touches that keep Kurt from being one-dimensional and stereotypical, but he's not playing himself. The Glee Project winners can't do that. On the Glee Project, Ryan is God. There's a power balance where they can't get a say in their characters because they're coming in as fans. And it's... I just got pooped on by a bird. This is vital information. Ryan Murphy set them up for this because I started to run my mouth. Anyway, it's Ryan who calls the shots. They probably assumed they had no choice but to do what he said. I'm going to go to uni and clean myself off, but wishing you a great week. Emily number 4, she, her.
I'm so sorry you got pooped on by a bird. Have you ever been pooped on by a bird, Ian?
That Ryan Murphy's pet pigeon
The birds work for the bourgeoisie, and that's the truth.
I've seen Wizard of Oz. Anything that flies is working for a higher power, being a spy for them. Ryan Murphy's there with his crystal ball, and he's like, shoot, totally. Go poop on that one.
Have you been pooped on by a bird?
Don't know.
Oh, I think that's something you remember.
I feel like I have, but I don't know. I imagine you have.
I super have.
How was it?
It was awful, but I remember it was just on the sleeve of my jacket. I remember I was at like a baseball game for some reason, already a place I'm uncomfortable at, and I just had to like wipe it off on the ground and like stick it out, and then I washed my jacket when I got home, but I was like, it was awful. It luckily wasn't like on my head.
That sounds beautiful.
Thank God.
The issue is sometimes if people ask me questions like that, I'll get like a memory of it, but it's straight up, the memory isn't clear enough where I'm like, did this actually happen?
Or was this a dream? Did you just think about it really hard one day?
Yeah. Am I just making this up right now?
Sometimes I straight up, the other day I was having a conversation with my sister and I was like describing a story and she was like, that happened to me. And I was like, what? And she's like, no. I think I've just told you that story so many times that you think it was you, but it definitely was me.
That's the issue. Human beings are unreliable narrators.
Literally. And she told me that and I was like, my childhood is a lie. And I was like, that really rocked my fucking world. Oh my goodness.
Emily number 4. I think you make good points. I think coming in as Samuel Larson, where you just spent, you know, 10 weeks being told, like, your life is in Ryan Murphy's hands, mm-hmm. and do whatever you can to please him,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't be able to immediately switch and be like, hey, Ryan, here's some of my thoughts on what this character should be.
Totally.
You're just kind of like, okay, I'll do whatever you tell me to do.
Totally. And I think it's such a good point. Like, when Chris Colfer made this role, it was... Glee was nothing, you know, like Glee mm-hmm. was just an idea that, like, you know, some very powerful people had. Like, obviously it was something, but it wasn't, you know, no one had like expectations of like what it already was. He could like be, you know, have more of a say in what's going on because there wasn't expectations from an audience or even the writers barely, you know?
Yeah. And also, like, you know, Ryan Murphy had like Nip Tuck and Popular, like he'd done stuff, but he wasn't like Ryan Murphy.
Mm-mm.
Like, he was just some showrunner that if you weren't in the business, you'd never heard of.
Yeah.
And so, and also Glee was such a big gamble that I'm yeah. sure, A, the writers were more open to, like, let's figure out this character together.
Totally.
And B, Chris Colfer probably felt more comfortable because they weren't, like, all-powerful beings to be like, yeah. hey, here's what I think Kurt should be.
And, I mean... Ryan Murphy is a queer man. You know what I mm-hmm. mean? And I think you are more inherently, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking about it. Like, I'm Ryan Murphy. I wrote a show. I don't have a queer guy in this show that I'm literally writing. Someone comes in that I see parts of myself in. I don't really mm-hmm. know. And then you're more open to ideas and like to make this character more nuanced because that's a character that Ryan Murphy relates to. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, of course, you know, Joe Hart isn't someone he relates to. I don't know. Emily, number four, thanks so much for this message. I'm sorry you got pooped on by a bird, but I've also heard that that's good luck. So I hope that that brings you lots of good luck in the coming weeks. Up next, we have a message from William.
Hey, Ian and Lena. My name's William, and I am a longtime listener, first-time contactor from the good old state of Georgia. I just wanted to let you know that you guys have made me laugh so many times due to your podcast, and I absolutely love it. I do have a question for you guys, though. Since you ended the episode asking who would be the new Rachel out of you two, I decided to do a little research. Which one of these songs of the summer, 2021, would you have sang to prove yourself the new Rachel? Butter by BTS... Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo, Levitating by Dua Peep, Kiss Me More by Doja Cat featuring SZA, Save Your Tears by The Weeknd. I hope you guys go out and spread some glee, and I can't wait for Minnesota Monday and for Britney 2.0, William.
Oh my gosh, I can't even wait for Britney 2.0. I'm going to cry. Okay, I already know what you're going to pick.
What am I going to pick?
I'm Levitating by Dua Peep. Just kidding.
Dang, you're going to pick...
Really?
Yeah. Okay. What were you going to say?
I was going to say Olivia Rodrigo.
Okay,
love Olivia Rodrigo.
Well, here's my thought process. What happened with the new Rachel competition? It was... Artie picked the... Well, it wasn't Artie. It was freaking Tina who picked it.
Yeah.
Tina picked the song... that was like the most commercially viable and most like upbeat and fun.
Oh, sure.
And so I was coming at it in the mentality of which of these songs fits the vibe of Call Me Maybe the most. And I think it's Levitating.
Okay.
However, I had a backup answer, which was if I took the like glee context out of it and it is just which song would I rather sing? You are correct. It's good for you.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, if I was to go into a competition to show, like, my stuff, less so, like, you know, what I think is going to be, like, the most commercially successful.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I think you and me are going to do a battle of band style Good For You by Olivia Rodrigo. Just because I feel like that song is what where I can show my stuff the best. Mm-hmm. I was also thinking Kiss Me More by Doja Cat because that song rocks.
Mm-hmm.
All these songs are very good, but... That was my second choice.
Good for you, you look happy and healthy, not me. If you ever care to ask, your turn.
Good for you, you're doing great out there without me, baby. God, I wish that I could do that.
I'm by my mind, I
So on the fact that I really don't get it, I guess good for you. Damn sociopath. We didn't get to that part, but I like that part.
All right, Artie, which one is it? Let us know.
Let us know. Who's the new Rachel? Okay. Oh my gosh, you guys. I don't know if you guys remember how this freaking podcast, Freaking Eva, works, but we're going to do, what's it called? The Relative Freaking Pitch Game.
Wow, it's been so long.
Literally.
So, in the new Rachel, we got Call Me Maybe, The New Rachel Competition by Carly Rae Jepsen, Americano / Dance Again by Lady Gaga / Jennifer Lopez featuring Pitbull, Never Say Never by The Fray, New York State of Mind by Billy Joel, It's Time by Imagine Dragons, Chasing Pavements by Adele. Mm-hmm. Lena is up first, if our calculations are correct, and she is going to sing Chasing Pavements.
Oh, man, that's what I was going to give you. Okay.
That'd be a fun one.
Should I give up or should I just keep chasing pavements, even if it leads nowhere? Or would it be a waste even if I knew my place?
Okay, so your should I give up is a B flat. That's a B flat, baby.
Yes. Okay. Listen, new year, new me, you guys. I'm going to win exclusively this year. I'm going to win every time.
You say that as if you like normally don't win.
I genuinely. Okay. Listen. Okay. When we first started this podcast, I was doing really good, but there was some time, like a bunch of months in there where I was doing bad every time. I was like never right. And I'm turning a new leaf.
Wow.
It's the new Lena.
Wow.
Let's party. All right. Okay, you're obviously going to sing New York State of Mind. That's the, you have to.
All right.
Because I thought you were going to give that one to me, and I was going to give you Chasing Pavements.
I'll tell you straight up, when I think of this song, I
do
not
want to sing Carly Rae Jepsen instead?
No. I want to do this song. This is just, This is like what my hallmark for New York State of Mind is. It's not Billy Joel, it's not Barbara Streisand, it's not Glee.
It's me.
It is a bit in 30 Rock.
Oh.
They're at a work party on a boat, and Tracy goes up to Jenna, and he says, I hear you sing. And she goes, oh, no one at this party wants to hear me sing. And he says, I would like to. And then she immediately opens her purse, takes a microphone out of her purse, and goes, some folks like to get away. I love that show.
That's funny.
Honestly, I don't have perfect pitch. We know this. We'll go with that. Some folks like to get away for a holiday from the neighborhood. We're going to say it's that. Okay.
Okay.
So I think the some folks like to get away starts on a D flat.
Mm-hmm. Some folks like to get
away for a holiday. I'm so off. It's embarrassing. I am a fourth sharp.
I'm sorry, it makes me laugh.
Wow, have fun watching me plunk this out, Patreon. Here them together.
Okay.
That's them together.
Honestly, kind of fun.
Wow. So new year, new me. I'm going to continue to be so absolutely off with the actual pitches. It'll be
Hell
fun.
Yeah.
So hard, Dr. Gary.
That's your episode, y'all. We will see you guys back here on Wednesday to talk about Britney 2.0. Oh my God.
Britney 2.0.
Awesome. If you guys have thoughts about this episode, if you guys have thoughts about, I don't know what you're referencing. I can't riff with
Beetlejuice.
Oh, what? What's
Barbara 2.0.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't tell the theater kids. I haven't listened to that show very much.
Don't tell the theater teens. That's going to come for you.
I know. I'm sorry. If you guys have thoughts on Britney 2.0 that you would like to share with us, you can send them to @recoveringgleek. What? recoveringgleek@gmail.com. I was going to tell you to go to our social medias, and that's not the right place to send us thoughts.
But if you want to go to our social medias, our TikTok and Instagram are @recoveringgleek_podcast. Our Twitter is @recoveringgleek. Thank you for being here. See you Wednesday.
See you Wednesday. If you like this podcast and you want us to succeed, do you? you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That, like, for real helps us out a lot. Okay. Love you guys for real. Have an awesome rest of your week. Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.